Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about a few analyst updates on Tesla stock, including from Goldman Sachs. Also got a couple of notes on sales, news on FSD beta, an article from Reuters about Tesla's progress on 4680s, and a few other things as well. Turned out to be a pretty nice start to the week for Tesla stock today, finishing up 1.6% to $274.42, while the NASDAQ was down 0.75% on the day. Looking at the calendar, we do have a couple of economic reports yet to come this week, but the big ones will be next week with the CPI and PPI. Before that, we will have Fed Chairman Jerome Powell speaking on Thursday morning. Given his most recent comments from the Jackson Hole Symposium, the market probably not really looking forward to those comments, but maybe that helps set expectations low enough. All right, getting into Tesla news, we're going to start off with a few analyst updates. First here from Goldman Sachs, they have published a note yesterday with key takeaways from their meeting with Tesla's head of investor relations, Martin Viecha, which they say happened last Thursday, September 1st. So I think this would have been after the period of time where Tesla was doing the analyst tours of Giga Berlin. So analyst Mark Delaney has four key takeaways from that meeting that we'll talk about, but Goldman Sachs has kept their buy rating on the stock. They do have a post-split price target of $333 per share. Prior to the split, they were at $1,000, so no change there. Their number one takeaway was that Tesla's cost of goods sold per vehicle should trend lower over time. They mentioned that since 2017, Tesla's cost of goods sold per vehicle has fallen from $70,000 down to $36,000 in 2021. So you may recall that this is actually the exact same tidbit that UBS shared, but they had that typo, talking about costs falling to $63,000 rather than $36,000, so further clearing that up, and obviously something that Tesla is emphasizing in these conversations. Quote, while this metric increased in second quarter 2022, driven by factory shutdowns, factory startup costs, and input cost pressures, cost of goods sold per car can trend lower over time as Tesla benefits from the ramp of the Berlin and Austin factories and the reduced percentage of vehicles coming from Fremont, which is a converted ICE factory with higher costs than Tesla's purpose-built EV factories, scale, and vehicle platform and battery improvements, end quote. So again, because this has come as a main takeaway across multiple conversations, it's pretty clearly a point of emphasis from Tesla or a common question slash concern from the analyst group. Given the current market, all the supply chain constraints that there have been, inflation, I think it shows just where the focus is lying, and that's more on rising costs rather than appreciating what Tesla is doing to combat that and even significantly overcome that. And like was mentioned here, the second quarter in particular had a lot of factors working against Tesla's progress during that specific time period, which just so happened to coincide with a lot of these concerns on costs. So while we might all understand and expect Tesla's cost per vehicle sold to be declining pretty quickly, we can use these conversations to get a better understanding of what the general perception of Tesla on the street is. And just like we had talked about with the Moody stuff on Friday, through those discrepancies is where opportunity is found. So even though at first it might seem like, oh, well, yeah, that's fairly obvious to us, it's still worth paying attention to. Anyway, second key takeaway from Goldman Sachs was on the Inflation Reduction Act. They say that the impact is too soon to quantify, and they write, quote, a lot will depend on guidance from the government about how the law will be interpreted, end quote. So I highlight this because I know we've been talking a lot about it, but it doesn't sound like Goldman Sachs was able to get really any more information than what we have talked about from Tesla during this conversation. They do say overall they expect it to be a positive for Tesla. Their third key takeaway was that EV supply and demand could remain tight over the intermediate term. Tesla believes that consumers will increasingly move toward EVs, but the industry could be supply constrained over the intermediate term as new battery slash component supply and assembly takes time to ramp up. So nothing at all new there. And then same thing with point four, it's just about FSD remaining as a focus. They wrap it up by saying that their $333 price target is based on 9x Q5 to Q8 estimated revenue, which is the same multiple they were using previously, so it doesn't look like they have changed any of their revenue forecasts at this time. We do also have an update from an analyst that has updated their forecasts, and this being Rod Latchey of Wolfe Research, who has increased his rating on Tesla from hold to a buy rating. Usually those rating changes are even a bigger deal than price target changes, and his buy rating now coming with a $360 price target. It sounds like this is one of the first updates that we have seen that has been primarily driven by the changes in the Inflation Reduction Act. Wolfe Research now increasing their expectation for EV sales in the United States from 10% by 2025 up to 20% now that this act has passed, and he feels like the implications of it are being underappreciated by the market, which I would definitely agree with that last point, but I think as Goldman Sachs noted, a lot of people just waiting for some more clarity. On the EV market share point, I'm less inclined to agree with this causing a doubling of EV market share, mostly because I fall into that supply constrained camp, and I don't think this really alleviates much of that in the short term, or intermediate term if you want to call 2025 intermediate, but we're quickly moving in on that date. But it should accelerate investment into EVs. I think it's just going to take longer for that to materialize, and in the more shorter and intermediate terms, it's probably just a bigger boost to margin than market share, and that helps incentivize the investments. The final analyst update that we have then is from Trip Chowdhury of Global Equities Research. He is saying that Tesla is, quote, poised for a super record quarter, end quote, for Q4, and is expecting more than 500,000 deliveries in the quarter, saying that Shanghai would be about 246,000, Fremont 145,000, and then 60,000 from each Berlin and Austin. Without going too in detail, I think we can easily note that those last two appear quite aggressive based on what Tesla has communicated, trying to get to 5,000 per week by the end of the year in those factories. Numbers like that would mean averaging 5,000 for the entirety of the quarter. As is usually the case, I find the justification to be lacking. I mean, one of the things that they talk about here in the note is that Model S Plaid production and deliveries have ramped up because they looked at a 20-mile stretch on Highway 101 and they saw more temporary license plates. Not sure that's going to be the most robust data set for them, but they weigh these quote-unquote channel checks pretty heavily in their notes each quarter. So while Global Equities Research is quite bullish on Tesla, which I think is the correct conclusion, I don't put much weight into their methodology. Something that may be a little bit more data-driven is a recent report from TrueCar about what they expect August sales were in the United States this year by manufacturer, and they've got Tesla sales for the month increasing by 106% year over year. Now, usually I don't like looking at individual country sales, especially just for one month in time. The US is a little bit different because it's Tesla's biggest market, and with Shanghai handling most of the exports, Tesla can keep a lot of their US production here in North America. So a little bit less volatility month to month from delivery waves. Anyway, they're saying that Tesla sales in August were up 106% year over year. That's gotten quite a bit of attention, so I wanted to at least comment on that, mostly just put it into perspective, because we actually get some details on things like this in Tesla's 10Q quarterly filing. In the second quarter, Tesla reported US revenue was up 85% year over year. That's not just automotive, that'll include energy and service and things like that, but gives us a little bit of a proxy for where the business is running. And then for the total first half of the year, up 91%. So mostly just providing that context because it does show that a number like this for August would be within the realm of possibilities. Another quick note on sales, this time on China sales. Chris Zhang here is reporting that Tesla has delivered 15,264 vehicles as of September 4th. We've talked about this before. This is going to be insured units, and that is reported on weekly. So this is an entire week time period, not just September 1st through 4th. So don't extrapolate in that way. And over time, it will correlate strongly with sales and also production. But for these short time periods, it doesn't necessarily line up perfectly. So not a whole lot that we can take away from that at this point in time. Later this week, though, we should get the CPCA report for August in its entirety. All right, next up, we've just got a couple of quick updates. First, on FSD beta 10.69.1.1, it has started to roll out to a more broader swath of the FSD beta pool. Even as I'm recording here, it looks like Tesla has broadened that group out more today. Elon did note, though, that the release of 10.69.2 will probably be at the end of the week. Earlier, it was targeted for yesterday, with Elon saying it still needs a little bit more polish. Nevertheless, Tesla has gone ahead and increased, as scheduled, the FSD beta price to $15,000, up from $12,000 before. We've also got a small comment from Elon on Powerwalls. As we know right now, ordering a Powerwall is tied to ordering Tesla Solar. Elon said that that will remain the case for now, as supply is too low, but ordering a Powerwall by itself should be possible by the end of the year. If that does end up being the case, that's probably a positive reflection on Tesla's auto business and the supply there as well. Speaking of supply, we've got a report today from Reuters on Tesla's progress with 4680s. Reuters says that they spoke to 12 so-called battery experts, 9 of which have close ties to Tesla, and 3 of the 9 have examined Tesla's new and old battery technology inside and out through teardowns. So sounds like a relatively well-informed group of people, but unfortunately I'm not sure that we're really getting too much insight out of that. They say the sources predict that Tesla will find it difficult to fully implement the new dry coating manufacturing process before the end of this year and perhaps not until 2023, which first of all is clearly just speculation and also not really too different from what we've heard Tesla themselves say. They then mention that according to the experts, Tesla has only been able to cut the Model Y's battery cost by between $2,000 and $3,000 so far, about half the savings Tesla had planned for the 4680 battery, which it unveiled 2 years ago. This would actually be phenomenal news, in my opinion, if this were actually the case. Tesla right now is at extremely low relative production levels. It would be extremely impressive if Tesla were already saving that much money and very clearly indicative of a huge breakthrough, which incrementally 4680s I think will get there, but even Tesla's own communication on this doesn't really suggest that kind of achievement quite yet, just that the path to get there is still clear. Those comments on cost really seem to be the meatiest comments in this article. There's really not a whole lot outside of that and then that timeline prediction. The rest is more general comments about where Tesla is planning to get to, which really are just takeaways from battery debt. So take from it what you will, but for me, in this case, it's really nothing. Next today, we've got an update from a company called Fleetpool in Germany. They've announced today that their orders for Tesla for this year so far have surpassed 50 million euros. It's ballpark around 1,000 vehicles, maybe a little bit less. The wording here is kind of important because they are saying that their orders so far this year have crossed that level, not that this is a new order for that, which is how it's been reported in some places. In any case, the company clearly continuing to expand their Tesla portfolio, which they use in a partnership that we have talked about before with Shell. This is one of those short-term subscription offerings that we have seen pop up. All right, last couple of things for today. After a lot of speculation in this regard, Volkswagen has announced today their intention to publicly list Porsche as its own entity on the stock market. Reuters reports that investors are expecting a valuation somewhere between $60 billion and $85 billion, and that the offering could be complete by the end of the year, but Volkswagen is going to hear back from investors, and they could revise their strategy here depending on what the market says. It certainly would seem like interesting timing to try to go to the market right now and raise a bunch of money with the current market conditions, but Volkswagen wouldn't just do that for no reason. There's got to be some reason there, and perhaps that reason could be that they think that the Porsche business is kind of at its peak. They desperately need some capital from it, or maybe they think that the market conditions are going to continue to further deteriorate, or maybe some combination of those things. So it'll be interesting to follow how this unfolds over the next few months. Lastly, then, just a quick update on the Twitter case. The Chancery Court in Delaware was hearing arguments from both sides today about some further discovery in the wake of the Zatko fallout, that being the Twitter whistleblower case, and then also Musk's side asking for more time, trying to push the trial back into November in the wake of some of those accusations. So as I'm recording, I don't think there's any ruling on that. Court is adjourned, but I'd expect that we'd hear a little bit more on that pretty soon. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.